text is the gospel reading from St. John. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Here ends our text. You don't want to jump out of the frying pan into the fire. That saying means don't go from one bad choice to another choice just as bad or even worse. People jump from the frying pan of believing there is no body or blood of Jesus in communion, and therefore they only eat and drink Jesus by faith. They jump from that frying pan into the fire of believing they can receive the benefits of Holy Communion without faith. Some people believe that Jesus' real body and blood are only in heaven now. It can't be on that altar, and they can't be in your mouth. These type of people speak of Jesus being spiritually present in communion, or present to faith. And they deny that Jesus is physically present, or present at all, to unbelief. The unbeliever who might secretly come to this altar, well, doesn't receive Jesus there because he lacks the faith that rises to heaven and feeds on Jesus. That's the frying pan. The fire is believing that by the outward act of taking communion, a person receives grace whether or not they believe it. People regularly jump between these two errors. And this is how the jump takes place. The person comes to believe the simple truth that the actual body and actual blood of Christ are present in Holy Communion. The Bible says the flesh and blood of Christ are life-giving. Therefore, since I eat his body and drink his blood, I live. Doesn't Jesus say, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life"? And so they jump. They jump into the air of thinking that no matter if someone believes or not, they receive life from communion. Because after all, they do eat the body and blood of Christ. The problem with this is that not all who commune live forever. All do receive the body and blood of Christ, but not all live. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul speaks of people eating and drinking communion to their condemnation. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul compares us to the Old Testament church, saying, "All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, and they fell in the wilderness." In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul commands that the man living in sexual sins be excommunicated in an attempt to save his soul. Luther thought Judas did commune at the first Lord's Supper. Well, but that communing didn't save Judas from going to hell. Finally, we confess in our Confession of Faith, the Formula of Concord, we say that without true faith, oral eating in the supper is not only not salutary, but harmful and damning. The frying pan is thinking that faith gives communion its power. The fire is thinking communion doesn't require faith at all. The position that is neither frying pan nor fire is that faith is required to receive the benefits of the body and blood of Christ, but faith does not make his body and blood present. Jesus says in John 6:47, in the middle of this chapter about eating and drinking his flesh and blood, what does he say? Whoever believes has eternal life. You don't believe, and no matter how often you commune, you do not have eternal life. Jesus teaches the same thing in the words of institution by saying, do this in remembrance of me. You come to this altar not believing what Jesus says is here or why Jesus says you come, and you receive the body and blood of Jesus for judgment. Jesus teaches the same thing about the sacrament of baptism. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned. You cannot hide an unbelieving life under the waters of baptism or in the body and blood of Christ in communion. Even as many circumcised members in the Old Testament church went to hell in the wilderness having eaten the Passover lamb, so many baptized members of the New Testament church go to hell having eaten the body and blood of Christ. Watch out. You're about to jump out of the fire of thinking it doesn't matter if you believe when you receive communion. But you're jumping back into the frying pan of thinking that Jesus is only present in communion if you believe him to be. The cure for fire is not the frying pan of believing that faith makes Jesus present and powerful in Holy Communion. The cure is to go back to what Jesus says about his work and faith's proper role. The text opens with Jesus saying, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus says this to those grumbling at eating his body and drinking his blood. Jesus says this to those who don't believe in him. Jesus says, I give my flesh for the life of the world. Before anyone believed in him, while we were still ungodly enemies of him, says Paul in Romans, Jesus took our place under God's law. Jesus took our obligations and our punishments. Hear those oughts, those betters, those shoulds, those musts in your ears. Now hear Jesus shouting, it is finished. See the suffering, the sickness, the afflictions that should come upon you in time and into eternity to pay for your sins. See them coming upon Jesus instead. See the bloody, gory, tortured Jesus shouting from the cross, it is finished. There on the cross, the law that accuses you has been silenced. There on the cross, the law that demands your punishment for sin has been satisfied. And how do we know that's really how it is for God? Because to the Son's shout, it is finished, the Father shouted, amen. That's what Easter is. The Father raising the Son is him saying, amen, Son, you did keep the law in their place. Amen, Son, you did pay their debt of sin. Hear this. Easter is God the Father promising, I don't see the sins of the world anymore. I see this wicked, fallen world covered by the holy body and blood of my Son. Only faith can receive a promise. But faith can only receive a promise that God first makes. If God didn't promise to forgive sins for the sake of Christ, suffering and death, all the believing in the world would not make that true. If Jesus did not promise to give you his body and blood for forgiveness and communion, all the believing in the world would not make that true. It's the object, it's the thing that faith believes in that is all important, not the faith itself. That's why Jesus emphasizes the littleness of faith, not its bigness. He compared faith to a tiny mustard seed, not to a huge coconut, because just a little faith receives all the promises, all the forgiveness that God first puts there. Here are three truths to keep you straight. Faith cannot make the body and blood of Jesus present in communion. Unbelief can't receive the body and blood of Jesus present in communion for salvation. Only faith can receive the body and blood of Jesus present in communion for forgiveness, for life, for salvation. The frying pan and fire, they're always going to be with you. How do you avoid them? By opening your mouth. What I mean is that you will avoid the frying pan of thinking faith causes Christ's presence or power in communion, and you will avoid the fire of thinking that faith is not necessary to receive communion for forgiveness. You'll only avoid both by a right understanding of faith. And faith is only rightly understood as a means of receiving what God promises, what God gives. Faith is an open mouth. Faith is not a power that can make something true or present that is not. Faith is not your work that God sees and is pleased with you for doing. Faith happens in you, but it's a miracle that God works, not something you do. And faith is not a decision you make. People who decide to believe something, there are no more believers than people who decide to suffer are sufferers. Both believing and suffering are things that something outside of you causes in you. So if you make yourself suffer, you're a masochist, not a sufferer. If you make yourself believe, you're a dupe, not a believer. Faith opens its mouth and receives what God gives. The only proper object of faith is what God gives. God does not give forgiveness, life, or salvation, no matter what, but in Christ, in connection with Christ. The Bible does not say all the promises of God are yes and amen. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. You stray from Christ, you stray from God's promises. You try to put a claim on God's promises apart from Christ, and you get not life, not forgiveness, not salvation. You get death, condemnation, and judgment. The only proper object of faith is Christ. And the only safe object of faith is Christ. Follow the words of Christ. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. If you try to get life from God because you believe hard enough, then you're going to get fried. Try to get life from the Father because you did the outward thing of eating and drinking the body and blood of His Son, and you will get judgment instead. Try to get life from God apart from what He promises and gives in Christ, and you're going to get burned up. God Almighty is a nuclear power plant. Christ is the power transformer outside of your home. The electrical line coming from the power plant has way too much power to be useful to you. It would fry your wires and burn up your home. The transformer outside your home takes all the power and transforms it into an amount you can use. There is no life apart from God. But life directly from God would not only fry us sinners, but be our death and damnation. Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead. All the life of God is found in Him, and by His holy life and innocent death, Christ made this life useful for sinful, fallen people. The holy life of God judges, scorches, and burns sinners like us. But in Christ, God invites sinners to draw near, to believe, to eat, and to drink. So now the one who feeds on Christ has life. Faith opens its mouth to feed on Christ wherever He is found, whether in words, in water, in bread, and wine. Faith does not put Christ in the words, in the water, in the bread, or in the wine, but only faith receives Him there for the sinner's benefit. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the Te Deum.